All right, good morning, Life Creek. If you are new to Life Creek, we welcome you. And I'll welcome you to Life Creek. And all right, we'll just get started here. If you have your Bibles with you, we encourage you guys to bring your physical Bibles. If you don't have one, it'll be up there on the screen. If you could all rise with me, if you're able, and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at one verse here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And after I read it, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord. And if you could respond by saying, thanks be to God. And then you could have your seat and I'll pray and we'll begin here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. This is God's infallible, inerrant word. Please give your full attention to it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. All right, let me pray for us. If you could join me in prayer and ask for God's help. Father in heaven, these are your spiritual words. These aren't just natural words. These are spiritual truths to your spiritual children, your sons who are born of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, empowered by your Spirit. The very Spirit of truth. And so we need your help. Left to our own natural devices, our own understanding, we will never arrive at the truth with power, clarity. And so we ask for your help. I did not come with eloquent words or words of wisdom, but a demonstration of your Spirit's power. And so we need your help. Please do not leave us to ourselves. But I pray that you would be our teacher this morning. Lead us now in your truth. Your word is truth. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. The third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Spirit, has it's been a mystery. Spirit has been a mystery for the church for decades. Because Spirit, the Bible says, is like the wind that blows. Can't really see it. But it's really important, as we so see here. The reason we're talking about this right here is because this verse has been very powerful to me in prayer and very practical. And look at what he says. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit. This is not saying pray in the Spirit means praying in tongues, and I believe in tongues, says it, okay? Ask for the spiritual gifts, whatever that is, prophecy or tongue or other spiritual gifts. But praying in the spirits, I don't think is praying in tongues, because this text or this book is addressed to the Christians in the church of Ephesus. The gift of tongue is given to not every church member, right? A gift is given to a certain people, okay? Whether it's teaching or tongue or prophecy or hospitality or prayer, all different gifts are given to different people. Not everyone has all the spiritual gifts. Paul makes that clear in the book of Romans and other places. A spiritual gift, whether it's tongue or anything else, is given to not everyone, but specific people. But he says here, is encouraging the people, the Christians in the church of Ephesus, all of you, praying, you must pray at all times in the Spirit. So I don't think praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. And it says, second observation is, all Christians, we must at all times. It's not like we pray in the Spirit some of the time. It's not an option. Praying, you must pray at all times in the Spirit, it says. Not an option that we pray in the Spirit and then other times we don't pray in the Spirit. We must. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. We have no option. We must pray. When we pray, we must pray in the Spirit. And so, how can we know for sure that when you open your mouth and communicate with the living God, that you are praying in the Spirit and not praying in the flesh? We'll see a text like that. There's a contrast between praying in Spirit and the flesh. How can we know for sure? 80 plus passages in the Bible from beginning to the end that talks about the Spirit. The Spirit, there's two categories that the Spirit does. One category, okay, is the Spirit, the work of revelation, reveals. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. So revelation is to show what's been hidden, and the Spirit shows you so you can see. So the work of the Spirit, first category, if you look at the Bible, 80 plus passages, is he reveals God. The Spirit reveals or opens up that you can see God's world, the things that you must see. And the second thing, we'll get to it. So what does the Spirit reveal that you and I need to see? Let me give you some examples of what the Spirit is showing you and I. God's world. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 6. This is what the Spirit of truth is showing you and I. Verse 25 to 34. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Let me give you a taste of it. Very familiar passage. This is what the Spirit is showing us. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? And goes on and on and on. The Spirit shows God's people, don't worry. Don't worry about stuff here. Actually, in the previous verse, talked about the Lord's Prayer. It says, pagans, unbelievers worry and fill their prayers with things here about food, about clothing, about houses. You don't do that. The Spirit's telling you. Others do that, but you don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about those things. And then, that's not the punchline. And then he said, the Spirit reveals what? Don't seek after those things. Don't worry about those things. You know, when people worry, they focus on those things. Have you noticed about you? That's what I do. When I worry, when I get anxious, I focus on the very things I'm worried about. Mostly food, clothing, and houses. Stuff here. Don't focus on those. He says, seek first, focus on what? This is what the Spirit's telling you and me. First seek about what? You know the verse? First seek and focus on the kingdom. Yes, heaven and righteousness. All these things that you're so worried about, the things that you need will be given to you as you need them. Not everything that you want, but everything that you need. Don't worry. He says, your Father knows. He does. He cares for us. So he knows. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. This is a very hard passage. And so another thing the Spirit is showing us, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. It's what the Spirit's revealing to us. You cannot do two things. You can't focus on the world and focus on God. That's what the Spirit's revealing to us. You can't. Because when you focus on one, he says, you will despise the other. When you love the one, you will hate the other. You can't do both. And you know what you and I try to do? We try. We try to do both. We try to throw ourselves into career or job and then at the same time throw ourselves into God. It doesn't work. One will suffer. That's what the Spirit's saying. I mean, can I said about jobs, I already stepped on some of your toes. Some students here, you can't. You can't focus on education and school, okay? And throw yourself into it, and at the same time, throw yourself into God. It's impossible. And I have done a lot of youth and college ministry. Most of us don't throw ourselves into God, love of God. Most of us throw ourselves into the things of the world. We try to do both. And we give the excuse, like, oh, of course, we can't do it, of course, you know. We fail, so it's all right. No, it's not. If you focus and love one, you will despise and hate God, he says. That's what he says. The Spirit of God is telling us. He's showing us. He's showing us how to live, how to walk in this world. Colossians chapter 3, look at what another thing the Spirit is showing us. If then you have been raised with Christ, if you're a Christian, if you've been raised, you're born again, if you claim that you rose from the dead and have life with Christ spiritually, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. That's what the Spirit's revealing to us, showing us. Don't seek and focus on things below. And I think he knows. I think he knows we do it. It's so easy to do it. It's more natural for us. And it's harder for us to seek things above. You see that? You see why the Spirit of God is showing us, is revealing to us? This is not important as we make it out to be. You know, we put a lot of our time and effort in things that we value and importance, don't we? And the Spirit of God is not that important as you think. All your lives, you've been pouring your time and energy on things of earth and very little time on things that are really important, things that are above. See? The Spirit's showing us. He's revealing to us. And the reason he's revealing it to us this morning is because he wants us to not just listen to it now, okay, and that's for someone else, and you go and do your own thing. He's trying to make it real to you right now. He's showing it to you, so it's real. Look at 1 John chapter 2. I could have chosen any theme, any topic. I'm just choosing the world because I think a lot of us do struggle with that, focusing on this world and not things above. I think it's relevant for us. I know you might not like it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Look at another thing that Spirit is revealing to us. Do not love the world. Do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not
in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, see? Opposite of the desires of the spirit. And the desires of the eyes and pride of life. Pride of success. You know? Education, job. Pride. Is not from the Father, but is from the world. Let me just stop here. I was talking to a professor at Cornell, and sorry, example is not in here, but it just came to my mind. And he was being honest with me. You know, he worked all these years to be a professor. You know, college 4 years, master's at Harvard for a couple years, and then PhD at Duke, okay? And then finally, an associate professor at Cornell University. And to be at that level in academia, you don't have a life. You just don't. You're just so focused on research. And your goal is to make tenure. You know, tenure is you can't get fired, right? I guess technically you can, but when you make tenure as a professor, your job is secure. And I was talking to him, it's not really the security of the job that he's really after. He was really after the name, you know, doctor. You know, most academia, they go after being called doctor something. And to lose that, you know, not to have that, is a failure. To have that doctor name, it takes almost all of your waking hours in research and publishing and very little time in the riches of God. That's just the reality of PhD world, you know, the academia research world. Don't fall into that temptation. Don't do that. It's not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God, there it is, abides forever. You see what the Spirit is showing us? Those who focus on things above the will of God will live forever. Do you see it? You see what the Spirit is showing us? And so, if the Spirit is showing us these things, I just give you a little taste of it, okay? Here. Praying in the Spirit is, as the Spirit shows you, you pray for the things that He shows you here. That's praying in the Spirit. That's knowing for sure that you are praying in the Spirit. Don't make things up. Just because you keep praying without resting is not praying in the Spirit. I was part of a charismatic group in college, you know, and praying in the Spirit, it's not to them, not just praying in tongues, but if you just pray without resting, you know, just words just come out of your mouth, you know. That is not praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is as the Spirit shows you the world of God, His truth. And when you, in your prayer, focus on things that the Spirit is showing you, then you are praying in the Spirit. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be a pastor to do it. All of you guys can do that. Amen? You can. So as the Spirit is showing you in the Bible, and you focus on the things that He's showing you, in your prayer, you're praying in the Spirit. The second thing that the Spirit does in the Bible, the second category, 80 plus verses about the Spirit, is the Spirit gives you power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. See that? And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and
to the ends of the earth. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, when we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So the reason we are being conformed one degree of glory to another like Jesus is not because of you. It is because of the Spirit who empowers you. So the Spirit not only shows you God's world and things in there to make it real, He gives you power to live in that reality. He gives you the power. So you don't worship two masters. You don't try to do it. No, He gives you power to restrain. This is impossible. And so you don't love the world. You don't love money. You love the Lord. The Spirit gives you the strength and the power to do the impossible. Everyone else tries to do both. Or everyone else neglect God and pour themselves into money and success in this world. For God's people, if you say you have the Spirit, deposit the Spirit gives you power to do where natural man cannot do it. And so when your life is not going the way you planned, you don't worry as everyone worries. Because you have the Spirit. And the Spirit shows you the Father will take care of you. And that becomes real to you. You know, it's one thing to see the Father will take care of you. Oh, yeah. You know? I know that. And then when it comes, you worry. That doesn't mean you know that truth. Our Father is a sovereign God. He has power unimaginable. And He is our Father. Do you believe that? Do you see that? He has all the resources at His disposal. He's showing it to us. Don't worry, my child. I know what I'm doing. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. He gives you power not to do it, not to worry, and trust. Not worry. Trust in yourself versus trust in God. Not to serve two masters gives you power to do that. Focus on things above, not things below. The Spirit gives you power to do that. The impossible. Where naturally you would. From there you wake up, the day you go to bed, you focus on stuff here. Or loving the world and things in the world. All right. Let me give you two more things what praying in the Spirit is. And it's found in this amazing passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at it, or just hear it. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by us by human wisdom, but in the words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in the spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Praying in the Spirit is this: if what you say in your prayer is something that an unbeliever, non-Christian, who's listening to your prayer, and he or she can understand what you're saying, it's not foolishness. Like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. I want that too. and want what you're saying, and he or she who's an unbeliever want him for themselves, you are not praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is something that you say that an unbeliever, if he was honest, don't want that. They can't see that. Remember, the Spirit of God reveals those things. And he says here, those things are foolishness to him. They cannot understand it. They can't really understand what you're saying. He goes, whoo. And so what you're saying in your prayer, if they understand it, and if they want it, you're not praying in the Spirit. Or even more powerful, look at what he says in Romans chapter 8. Praying in the Spirit proves that you are sons and heir of God. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh. Live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. See that? All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Those who are led by the flesh are not sons. Same with prayer. If your prayers are of the flesh, that's not the Spirit's leading. That's not praying in the Spirit. The Spirit is not revealing those things to you. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. Parents pass on what they have to their children, whether it's inheritance, a lifestyle, or values, and God is no different with his children. You show that you are God's children when your lives reflect the fact that you are in touch with your Heavenly Father. The point of Romans chapter 8, this passage, whoever has the Spirit of God in them would demonstrate that they are heirs of God, especially in how you pray. Say that one more time. Whoever has the Spirit of God in them, which is sons of God, daughters of God, you're Christian, heirs of God, will demonstrate that you are heirs of God, especially in how you pray. Not that you pray, but how you do it. What you see and ask God. You will ask for and live for what God has prepared for his children. This book right here is the very book by the Spirit from the Father to you who are his children, true children who are born of the Spirit. Do you want what's in here? Or you could care less. There it proves in how you pray a children of God born of the Spirit. Not that you pray, but you pray in the Spirit at all times. Living, empowered to live in what the Spirit shows you. And walk in that truth, walk in that light. And when you fail, you don't like, oh, it's all right, I'm a sinner, I make mistakes. No! You are grieved, I am grieved. When I don't do what he says here, and when the Spirit empowers me and shows me, and I don't say, no, and you listen to their flesh, I'm grieved. He said, you're grieving the spirit. God, I'm sorry. I didn't listen to the spirit. And you fall down and you get right back up. And you try it again. Praying and pleading. God, kill this flesh who are so self-centered, who focus on things in this world, who are of very little value, and forgive me for focusing on very little of infinite value, which is above. God, help me. Show me more that this stuff is real in your word. It's not just Christian words that I have to live by. It is real. Precious treasures in heaven that the Spirit is revealing to you and I. So praying in the Spirit proves that we are true sons of God. Let me end with this. Praying in the Spirit for food. You know, prayer, even praying for the food, is loaded with spiritual implications. Do we eat to satisfy our lust of the flesh? And it's good to eat, doesn't it? You know? It's good to eat that medium rare steak. It's juicy. And you feel good. Whatever food you like. I like meat. You know? Or if you're vegetarian, you like, you know, vegetarian food. But do you just eat because just to satisfy your flesh? Or do we expect this fruit from God? Do we expect it? Can I be here? Tell me you're real. You're real. If you don't, if the food is not there, you don't give me what I want, then, you know, forget. Forget about you. Do we expect fruit from God as our rightful due? You know, some of you guys think, the stuff in this world that God gives or withhold is your right, and it is not. You don't have rights to them. God gives you or withhold by his own wisdom. You don't have rights to them. It's freely given or freely taken away by our Father. You have no right to get mad. It's not yours. You don't have rights to the things here. But a lot of you think it's a right. When things don't go your way, your path, or whatever, you get mad. You get irritated. Because you think you have rights to them when you don't. Will you use your strength with this food that God is giving you to seek things below? Is that what you're going to use it for? Is that what you're thanking God for? Thank you, God, for this food so that I could use the strength that you give to focus on things here. Or the strength that you give me with this food so I could sin against you. Give me the strength so I could rebel against you. Is that what the food is for? God forbid, may it never be. God is not giving you food and strength. All eyes look to you, and you give them your food, our food at the proper time. He's giving you strength not to sin against him, not to ignore him, not to do your own thing. Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The kingdom of God does not consist in food and drink and meat, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Our prayer at mealtime shouldn't be just thanks for the food, but the food that keeps us alive and gives us strength is to live for his glory alone. So thanks to God is not enough. It's thanks God for the strength and for life so that you will take your life and strength
to live for his kingdom and his glory. There is someone who's praying in the Spirit. There's someone who proves that he is, understands and sees that he is sons and daughter of God. There is someone who seeks to live in the power in that reality. That's praying in the Spirit at all times.